Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of May, recording at 9:24 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick review. Global stock markets, mostly firm. Government bonds, mostly soft. Isn't it interesting to see how persistent some of these trends are? And there are more. The US dollar soft in here again today. And precious metals, well, the entire metal sector. I think rampant would be the appropriate description. This is where the real action is occurring. Energy, not much going on there. Okay, let's get back to this global stock market cycle. Now, I can't tell you how many reports, some heavyweight reports by very, very experienced people across my desk. Well, they come in actually on my computer talking about the hazards of stock markets. I think some of it's exaggerated because when you look at valuations, they aren't all that high. But you can imagine what these people are picking up on. Generally, the higher interest rates, concern about the oil price, the strength of commodities, and the length of time without a reaction. And many people talking about mean reversion, and they've got a good point. But the problem with that fundamental approach is that it's not timing sensitive. Now, there are two ways to respond to all this. We can say, well, cynically, the people who are talking about corrections are just climbing that wall of worry, and as long as they remain reasonably concerned or bearish or underweight, let alone selling positions, that it's still a very healthy environment. That's one way to look at it. And the other way to look at it is to say that, well, things are getting a bit spicy in here, and therefore we've almost certainly seen the best of the overall move in both percentage terms and in time, and that we need to be alert to the possibilities of change. Now, I know I'm well aware that I've been saying to you since last October when we had those upward dynamics, and that was a very bullish signal for stock markets, that my best case scenario was that we would see the rally extend through the first quarter of this year, which of course it's already done, and that I felt that the risks of a medium-term correction would be quite high in 2Q and 3Q of this year. And we're nearly a month and a half, nearly halfway through the second quarter of the year. And of course, no sign really of that medium-term correction. And in talking about that, I've always said that if I'm too cautious, and I've also cited election year factors and so on. You can read about all of these, incidentally, and more in Jeremy Grantham's excellent, if somewhat academic, report that I'm posting here today shortly after I complete this audio. But overall, what I have said is that if we didn't see that correction, that the main reason would be because there was still one heck of a lot of liquidity sloshing around the system, and that was keeping markets ebullient. But nothing goes on forever in terms of all these actions, and I'm just trying to play on anxieties. As you know, I haven't sold any of my core investment positions. I have no inclination to sell any of my core investment positions. I've never been looking for more than a medium-term correction. But there's a pendulum effect or a scale to these moves, and the higher markets go in the short term, short to medium term, the more euphoric the uptrends become, the the more we move away from low and attractive valuations to moderately high to quite high in some instances valuations, the greater the risk of a bigger correction overall. And if we got many trends accelerating upwards significantly relative to the rises that we've seen for stock markets over the 3 previous years and a bit, 39 months, then that would be a more risky environment. And I might take a more conservative approach, meaning either reducing some positions and or preparing to hedge rather aggressively once I saw a deterioration in the overall patterns. But for now, as I say, these trends are still consistent. We should not be complacent in here. We should really watch things very, very carefully and keep an open mind and enjoy the profit making while this environment continues. And it has been an awfully good environment, whether you've been invested in India or any well. The any of the markets really have done quite well. The one that's lagged more than any other is Wall Street, of course, which has also been hit by the currency here recently. But somebody who had a portfolio of U.S. stocks and was blissfully removed from sufficient financial news to know how well all the other stock markets around the world had done, and that person would be, I dare say, really quite satisfied with their overall performance, and fair enough. Okay, enough said on all that. Let me move on now to this. Well, let me talk a little bit more about strategies here. I'm not doing anything in on the long side of futures. I keep getting tempted, saying, let's go back into Hong Kong or Japan, some of my favorites here, and leverage up a bit more. But when I do that, I'm sufficiently nervous so that I put in a tight stop and then get hoiked out, usually at a small profit. And I realize that if I'm that concerned about it, then really I ought to concentrate my efforts elsewhere, and that's what I've been doing. And one area is with the short positions in government bonds. These trends remain extremely consistent, and they have been moving, as I've been saying, from a tailwind to an emerging headwind for global stock markets, but they're not there yet. There's still more money coming out of bonds and going into equities, I suspect. And that's been one of the factors that has helped stock markets to extend their overall rallies at a time when a sufficient number of bean counters are saying that liquidity is contracting for us to believe that that is actually the case, but it hasn't contracted sufficiently to offset some of the money that has been coming out of those government bonds. And so, again, I say I remain short the UK gilts, the 30-year treasuries, the JGBs, and the euro bunds, and I'm using reasonably tight trailing stops. Now, US dollar. You know, Bernanke speaks tomorrow and will almost certainly take the federal funds rate from 4.75% up to 5% tomorrow. I think he speaks at 7:30, or the decision is announced at 7:30. Now, what I had mentioned that I might do, and I thought I might have missed this little window of opportunity, but it reappeared here again today, and that was to book my profit on my euro dollar long. And I did so, and I did this not because there was anything wrong with the trend. The trend's been terrific and as consistent as many of the other trends that I've been talking about in this audio so far. But I booked that position because, given the persistence of the dollar's decline recently, and combined with the strength of these commodity markets, I think it's pretty much inevitable that Bernanke, whether he says it or not, is going to be a bit concerned about inflationary pressures in the US. So might he, having a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, said something that a lot of forex traders regarded as an invitation to sell the dollar, might Bernanke come in and say something, not necessarily in reference to the dollar, but for instance, the widely anticipated and signaled move to leave rates on hold, even though they haven't gone back to a neutral level, might he emphasize the fact that by no means this means that the next move downwards will be a cut, that in more than likely it will be another hike, but that they're going to watch, the Fed's going to just watch for a while. That type of tone, just to maybe cause people to think, this dollar isn't going to go down or continue to fall lower at this rate. And it would be catching it at a time when the dollar is a little bit oversold, technically. And if you look at the dollar index chart in the library, look at the weekly chart, you'll notice that it's back to 85, just below 85, which is where there's some lateral trading, and so it's a potential bounce point for a small bounce. So thus I pulled my position out, took that profit, quite a good profit, although it wasn't a big position, and I would reinstate it later in the week if we do get a bit of a technical rally in the dollar against the euro. I'll concentrate on that relationship rather than the yen relationship, which certainly has the favorable pattern, but is also a little bit overextended in the short term. But I just hate dramatically adverse interest rate differentials. So now, moving on to the most exciting area here currently, is the performance of these metals. And when I said I would stop leveraging up in stock market futures, and I'd pretty much done that a number of months ago to concentrate on where some of the better trends were, and fortunately those have been in precious metals, and this really was another big surge day. This is these moves are raising plenty of eyebrows, particularly among the people who aren't on board, and there has been a plethora of reports coming out saying yes, gold's going to 1,000 or wherever, pick a number, people have been choosing on the upside, but then repeating or spending the rest of the report emphasizing the near-term risks and that it's more likely to go to 550 or 500 first. Well, first, I don't think it's going to do that. I don't think it could go down that much. Could we get a 50, 60, maybe even a $70 reaction in gold? Well, I would expect that to happen at some stage, but I don't think we're going to get a massive move on the downside. I think what those forecasts include is a fair dollop of wishful thinking, and that there are an awful lot of people who really turned cautious fairly early on in this and would like to be able to get on board. And when those of us who have overweight positions in this market, and I certainly do, I described gold as the new copper, although my goodness, the old copper is doing mighty well as well. But let me stick to gold. I had leveraged my position up a bit further yesterday, and consistent with my strategy of trading out some of the June gold on strength and replacing it with August gold on dips. And I actually prefer to buy the August gold first and then count on the consistent trend to enable me to lighten in the June. But at any rate, I had done that. I bought yesterday on a $5 dip in gold, and today I saw an $11 rise in the June contract, and thought that was pretty good. So I took that, I took one unit out, and by the end of the day, felt like I'd given it away because, lo and behold, gold is up $22 in here as I speak. That certainly certainly one of its better gains, and the spot price for gold is over 700. It's hit a 760 cents right now. Now, other metals extremely strong in here. Palladium. I also have a position in palladium, and that finally, well, I say finally, it's been in a gradual ranging, steadily ranging upward trend. You look at the weekly chart; it looks terrific, and it broke upwards out of a small range here today, and reached a high, I think, of 395.10. Currently trading slightly lower, and after hours trading palladium. Platinum, rather, had another big move. Now, palladium is high beta platinum. I'll say that again. Palladium is high beta platinum, and that's because of the scope for automobile companies to shift from one to the other in terms of their catalytic converters, and the cost of platinum is sufficiently high that automobile manufacturers have been increasingly looking at palladium. So if these markets go up, I would expect palladium to overall get a better percentage rise than platinum, and it's probably got the beta factor in both directions. It wouldn't be, the label beta wouldn't be, or high beta wouldn't be appropriate, would it, if it didn't, and so it would fall further. But I think that this whole sector is going to go a lot higher overall, but not without the periodic correction. So I raised my June position stops in here today. I'm not crowding it, but I'll almost certainly raise my August position stops as well. But so far, there's absolutely nothing wrong with these trends, and in secular bull markets, and this is a point I'm going to repeat twice, in secular bull markets, the big surprises are on the upside. The big surprises are on the upside. You've seen it with copper, you've seen it with zinc, you've seen it pretty well with all the industrial metals, and we've seen it with the precious metals here recently as well. And yes, occasionally you do get those scarifying downward reactions, such as silver saw, I think it was last month or just the beginning of this month. But, you know, it's right back up, practically up at the highs prior to that correction. In the industrial metals, the only one that I'm playing at the moment in here, so concentrated so heavily in gold, is the lead. And I did double up that position in here today, and it looks like it's now in a good position to stage a bit of a catch-up move as long as all the others remain firm. And energy, well, oil trading 70-60 here. Now it's fairly steady. And natural gas, still cheap and a lagging irritant in my portfolio, although I can't be too overly concerned about it because of the base underneath the overall pattern and the strength of the industrial sector generally. So I would expect more ranging and then a move on the upside, but there are far more consistent trends around. The only merit that that natural gas has at this particular time is that it's exceptionally depressed for an important futures traded industrial commodity, and that's likely to change at some point before too very long. And sorry about the length of this audio, but I hope you found it worthwhile. All the best.